We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Orachaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchas Pesach, Halacha Hey, from the beginning. Rav Nosson Zal says, Inyan Yitzias Mitzrayim, Bechol Dor Vador, Ubechol Odom Vodom, Vinyan Achilas Matzah. In this Halacha, we're going to talk about the concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim in every single generation and how it applies to every person, and also the topic of eating matzah on Pesach. Al pi hamaymar b'kroiv olay mareim lechol es psori b'simen lamed vov. This halach will be based on chapter 36 in the first half of Likut Imran, Ayin Shom Kol Hamaymar. Rav Nosson Zal says, look over that entire chapter in Likut Imran, and now in the next 5-6 paragraphs, he's going to give us a brief synopsis of that chapter in Likut Imran. Ki yesh shivim nefesh beis Yaakov, b'china shivim ponim la'toira, v'chol nefesh miYisrael yesh lo shoyresh b'shivim nefesh nam. We know that the family of Yaakov Avinu, the Torah tells us, when they went down to Mitzrayim, they were 70 people. Those are called the shivim nefesh of the beis Yaakov, which were the foundation of Klal Yisrael in a sense. And each one of those 70 is connected to the 70 faces and 70 interpretations of the Torah. And each and every single Jew has a connection, has their roots in those 70 nefoshos. Keneged zeh, and in opposition to this, yesh shivim umois. There are 70 nations of the Goyim. V'chol umo yesh lo mido v'taivo ro shehim ushreshes bohem. And each and every single one of these nations has a different negative attribute or evil desire that they are connected in, that they're rooted in. V'yesh taivo haklolis shekoileles kol hashivim umois. There is one desire, one evil desire, that's a composite sense, in a sense of all 70 nations, all the bad of all 70 nations. V'hu taivas niuf. This is the illicit desire for women. Shekulam mushroshim umishukoim bezois ha-taiva, whereby all 70 nations are rooted and steeped in this taiva. V'chol nefesh miYisrael koidim sheyesh lo eze hizgalus batoira menasin umitzarfen es hanefesh begolias shel shivim umois haynu betavoisein horois. Rabbein Zal tells us there that each and every single Jew, before he zeichet to a revelation in Torah, to a real hatzlocha in Torah, the person is first tested and put through all kinds of things within the exile of the 70 nations, meaning within these taivois rois and midois rois, to prove himself worthy of a hizgalus haTorah. Now, even though we said the person is tested in all this taivois, the ikar hanisoyin hu betaiva haklolius anal. The main test is regarding taivas noshim, taivas niuf, which is called taiva haklolius. It's a composite of all the others put together. Shekisha hanefesh shel Yisrael nisnase bezois hataiva, ze bechinas golus shel shivim umois kanal. When a Jewish soul is being tested regarding this taiva, it's as if the person is being thrown into a golus of all 70 nations put together. Vazai tsoyekes shivim kolim kemoi hayoledes. And when that happens to a Jew, his neshama cries out to Hashem. It cries out 70 screams, like a pregnant woman cries when she's giving birth. Ve'oz kishemishaber zois hataiva vo'imei banisoyim zoiche acharkach lohoilid hizgalus haTorah. And when the Jew is zoiche to break this desire and to pass the test, then he's zoiche to give birth. Like the pregnant woman is giving birth, he also gives birth. He gives birth to a hizgalus haTorah, to a revelation of Torah. Ubishvil ze Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom shehu klal haTorah hoyo porush mikoil v'koil. And because of what we just explained, this is why Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a composite of the entire Torah, he's the one who gave Bnei Yisrael the Torah, And the words Moshe Rabbeinu are begematria 613 to show that he is the Torah in a sense. That's why he had to be outstanding in this area of this Taiva HaKlolius. And at one point in his life, he had to separate himself even from his own wife to take on the highest level of purity and abstention in this area, which does not apply to other Jews. Ubilam kenegdoi beklipo hayameshuka v'chula. Now, Bilam, who is the equal opposite force to Moshe Rabbeinu within the Sitra Achra, therefore, he was the person who was most steeped in this taiva sniyuf. Like the Torah tells us, the Gemara points out that he went so far, he even went out of the category of human beings. He even had relations with his donkey. Gam Yosef hutzrich lamoid ben Yisoyon, kedei lizkois lehizgalus ha-Torah, b'chinas chochma u'bina. And Rabbeinu Zal adds there that Yosef HaTzadik also, who had to experience a major hizgalus ha-Torah, like Paroi said when Yosef HaTzadik revealed the interpretation to Paroi's dream, Paroi said, I see that ein chochom v'novoim kamoicha. There is no one that has chochma and bina like you. And Paroi put him in charge of the economy of the world at the time, pretty much. And we know how much Yosef HaTzadik added to the Torah. He added parshios to the Torah. So Yosef HaTzadik also had to experience a major test in this area with the wife of Potiphar. Now, Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say there that when a Jew is being tested like this, when a Jew is experiencing bad thoughts, hirhurei znus, there's two levels of intensity. There's standard, which every person experiences, all kinds of bad thoughts coming at them periodically throughout the day, different times, and the person has to try to disengage his mind from that, to think about other things. When that happens, Rabbeinu Zal says, don't fight it head on, don't focus, just switch your mind to think about anything else. The human mind is like a screen. You can't have two things on the screen at the same time. So if you're thinking about A, you can't be thinking about B at the exact same time. So if a person finds the Yetzirah is pulling his mind to try to lock into one of these bad thoughts, he simply unlocks it and puts it on something else, counting floor tiles, you know, thinking about what he had for breakfast, what he's going to have for breakfast tomorrow, anything he wants to disengage his mind from that bad thought. Rabbeinu Zal said that when a person feels these standard bad thoughts coming at them, one of the things that could help him a lot is if he recites the two sentences, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusoy Leilam Voed. That, and Rabbeinu Zal shows how that helps a person tremendously in Tikkun HaBris. Then Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say, but sometimes when the Yetzirah is coming consistently at the person, you know, intensely, repeatedly, then it's not enough for the person just to say Shema and Baruch Shem, but rather he has to shed the tears when he's saying Shema and Baruch Shem. And this is the next paragraph that we're going to have now. Rabbeinu Zal says there, V'hatikun shel hirhurei znus sheboim lodom. The tikkun for these bad thoughts, illicit thoughts that come at a person is sheyoymar shma u'baruch shem, that the person should recite the two sentences Shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Leilam Voed. Why? What happens when he says that? Kedei lichloil nafshoy b'shnei mosor shiftei ko al yidei kriya shma shehi b'chinas malchuso d'shmaya shehi b'chinas yam shel shloimoy sho'imedes al shnei mosor bokur. When a person recites these two psukim, together they have 12 words and exactly 49 letters, which matches up perfectly with the 12 names of the 12 tribes, which also have 49 letters in them. So the Rabbeinu Zal explains that when a person says these 12 words with kavana, he's locking himself into, he's being mekasher himself to the Yud Beis Shiftei Ko, the 12 tribes who are holy. Hashem placed his name on each one of them. Shevet Horu'uveni, Hashimoini, the Yud Kei on each one of their names to show their purity. And they're called Shiftei Ko. And Rabbein Azal says there that these 12 Shvatim also correspond to the 12 oxen who carried the Yam Shel Shloimo, the mikveh of Shloimo HaMelech, which means, again, they represent purity. They represent the Malchus of Kedusha, the Malchus of Hashem. So when a person plugs into that, Umafrish es nafshoi, he unplugs himself, he separates himself, Minishmas Erev Rav, from the souls of the Erev Rav, Haboim Meisha Zoina, which come from the illicit woman, Shehi Shiv Chabisha, the evil maidservant, Tchoil, the spleen, Imo de Erev Rav, the mother of the Erev, which the Tikune Zoyar uses all of these terms to refer to the Sitra Achra. Ayin Shom, look over there in Likutei Moran, where Rabbein Azal explains this. But then Rabbein Azal goes on to say, Avol mi shehu rogil bihuru shel atai v'kloli is. But a person who sees it's not coming at him haphazardly, once a day or once every couple of hours, but he's being bombarded in a very powerful way by the Eitz Zahara in this thing, who tzorich gam lohoyred dmois b'shas kabbalas ha-toyro, oil malchus shamayim. He has to shed tears at the time he says this Shema and Baruch Shem. Ki hadmois heimim moisrei hamora shchoira. Because tears represent an excess that comes from depression or from the gall inside the person. Ukishemoyrid dmois, and when a person sheds tears, nidchin hamoisrois, that releases klipois. Tears usually are associated with sadness, depression. When a person cries, the sadness comes out. Hainu, hataivas niuf, haboim meachiras damim shel tchoil shimor shchoira, which means this also removes from him this evil desire, which also comes from the spoiled blood of the spleen that's processed by the spleen, shehi mor shchoira, which is associated with the gall, the bitter gall. V'koilel nishmosoi b'malchus shamayim. And the person is zoichet to plug his neshama into the malchus of Hashem. He unplugs himself from the malchus of the Sitra Achra, and he plugs into the malchus of Hashem. Rabbein Azal continues over there, v'zeh klal godol. This is a very important rule in Yiddishkeit. Kimi pi elyoin loy teitze kiim oyer poshut. That from heaven, from Hashem, all that comes from Hashem is unformatted light. Simple, simple light with no shape or form, kavyochel. Ach lefi bechinas hakli hamekabel es ho'er, kach netztayer ho'er besoichoi. And it's according to the vessel that's receiving this light, that's what determines what shape and form the light will take. Im hakli hu bishleimus, if the vessel is a sholem keli, it's a pure keli, a keli that's not defective, azay netztayer bebchinas bracha, then the light is formed in a form of blessing, in a good way. V'chein lehepech, and the same thing is the other way. If chas v'shalom, the keli is not sholem, if the keli is defective, then the light is formed in a negative way. Rabbein Azal says, ki oyer haposhut habo mele'el hu bechinas komitz v'sosim. Because this simple, unformatted light that's coming from Hashem is the aspect of komitz v'sosim. It's something that's very hidden. And it's associated, we said, with the vowel komitz, which means a closed fist, something that's closed and hidden. Ach lefi bechinas hakli hamekablim hu bebechinas tseirei, however, when this light that originates from Hashem, when Hashem gives out the light, it's unformatted, it's completely hidden, it's super hidden light, the light of Keser, the crown of Hashem that's associated with the Nekuda Kometz. Now, when this light reaches a person, the person is a vessel. If he's a pure vessel, then the light takes on the form of bracha, blessing, good things. If chas v'shalom, it's a defective keli, it's a defective vessel, then the light takes on a negative form, chas v'shalom, the opposite. And again, the concept, when the light originates from Hashem, it's referred to as komatz. Komatz means closed, hidden. keser, very high level. When the light goes into the keli and it takes form, shape, it's referred to as the nekuda tzere. Tzere means vayitzer. He shaped it. He formed it. Now Rabbi Nazal says over there in Likutei Moran, v'alkein ksiv bebilam. Now you could understand what the Torah says about Bilam, that when Bilam tried to use his connection to Hashem to draw light from Hashem and to turn it into a curse against the Jews, what did Hashem do? Hashem preempted him. Hashem said, for Bilam, we're going to make some changes. We're not going to follow the normal pattern that we send out the light from heaven unformatted, and based on where it goes to, there it gets shaped and formed, because I know Bilam wants to shape it into a klola. We're going to send it out prepackaged, formatted already in bracha, and now there's nothing he can do. He can't change it. Rab Nosson Zal now quotes the Likutei Moran, V'alkein ksiv bebilam. This is why it's the pasuk says about Bilam, Hine borech lokachti. I thought I was taking borech, borech with a komatz under the bays. Uberech velo yashivenu. But I was surprised. Hashem pulled a fast one. He gave me berech. He gave it with a tzere under the bays. He gave it already formatted package. I couldn't do anything. There was nothing I could do. I was just a delivery boy to deliver the bracha to Bnei Yisrael. Ki afilu halikicha, meaning that even at the time he was taking the light from Hashem, shehi oz bebechinas komets v'sosim, where at that time the light is closed and hidden usually, and usually it's completely unformatted, no shape or form, hi bebechinas berech. Bilam said, this time Hashem pulled a fast one, and it was already berech, with a tzere. It was already tziur, in a shape and form, so that I couldn't change it. I couldn't put it into my keli, Bilam's keli, which was pegam abris and everything, you know, to turn it into a curse. Raya lozeh, and a proof to this is, ki hu hayoroitzel etztayer lefi b'chinas hakli sheloi. Bilam wanted to shape the light according to his keli, shehi b'chinas klola, which is a curse for the Jewish people, because of all of his pegam abris with his donkey, all the things he did. V'loi hayoyochoy lahoshiv. But he couldn't change anything. He couldn't touch it. I saw that the light was already in the form of berech, with that tzere under the bays, not borech. And v'loya shivano, there was nothing I could do. And because of the fact that at the time he was taking the light from Hashem, it was already in berech. Why? Why did Hashem do that? Lefi sheheid hakosav aleihem sheYisrael nikru shiftei kor. Because the Torah says over there, because Hashem testified that the Jews are shiftei kor, they are pure, they are holy, they still retain their holiness, even though they went through Egypt and everything, they tried to do the best they could to remain pure. Ve'ikar shleimus hakli shu bechinas tfisa samoichin sheloi. Hukefi tikkun abris. Listen to these words now. We said before that Hashem sends out light, unformatted. According to the kli that's receiving it, that's what determines what shape and form the light is. If it's bracha, klola, good, bad, whatever it is. Now Rabbi Nazal says there, what's the main factor that determines whether the kli is good or bad? Is it Torah? Is it tefillah? Is it tzitzis, tefillin, mezuzah, mikveh? Ve'ikar shleimus hakli. Whenever Rabbi Nazal or Rabbi Nosson Zal use the word ikar, it means there are many different things involved, but out of all the different things, the most important one is this. Ve'ikar shleimus hakli. The main shleimus of the keli of a person, shehu bechinas tfisas hamoichin shloi, which means his ability to think properly. His ability to understand Torah, Kedusha, Mitzvos, his mind, who kefi tikkun habris, is based on his purity in the area of tikkun habris. Va'oz yochoy lekabel velitfos haTorah shel haTzadik. If a person has tikkun habris, then he's able to receive and accept the Torah of the Tzadik properly, where it'll help him, it'll be a benefit to him. He'll understand it properly and it'll improve him. Because the light of the tzaddik, which is the light of Hashem, the tzaddik is a vessel, you know, passing on Hashem's light, that light will be formed and shaped for good and for blessing through the fact that your keli is a proper keli. Dahainu tfisa samoichin shaloi kefi tikkun habris, meaning that the tfisa samoichin, the person's ability to understand the Torah in a beneficial way, is based on his tikkun habris. And Rabbi Nizal says over there that the opposite is true also, that if a person chas v'shalom is not in a high level of tikkun habris and he hears the Torah of the tzaddik, it will harm him, it'll burn him, he won't interpret it properly, and it'll cause all kinds of problems. So Rav Nelson Zal asks in Likutei Halachos, hold on a second. This is a serious problem. This rules out 99% of the Jewish people. Then people shouldn't go to the tzaddik if that's the case, because you're telling me if your keli is 100%, you're going to receive it good. If not, you're going to receive it bad. Which person's keli is good? Which person is holding by shleimus and tikkun habris? And Rav Nosson Zal answers that there's a solution to this. The solution is, if you want to use your own brain, if you want to operate with your brain as if your brain is solid and good, then if your tikkun habris is good, you're in. If your tikkun habris is bad, you're going to make a terrible mess. But if the person says, no, hold on a second, I know exactly who I am, I know myself better than anybody else, and I know that I'm far from shleimus and tikkun habris, so therefore, I'm not getting into this problem. I'm coming to the tzaddik, but I'm not going to use my brain at all. If I thought I had a brain, if my brain is solid and strong, then I receive the light and I process it through my brain. I think it over and I analyze it, and I decide what to do. But if I admit to myself that I'm not shleimus tikkun habris, and therefore my keli is not shown, and therefore I am unworthy of processing the Torah that tzaddik, so I won't. I'll put my brain aside. I'll try to keep it under the cover as much as possible and avoid using it as much as possible. Not zero, not mamish zero, but as much as I can, I'll avoid trying to analyze myself and trying to understand myself and interpret myself, but I'll try to be as simple as possible to accept what I'm receiving, the tzaddik, without trying to put my own seichel into it, without trying to mix my own analysis into it. Rav Nosson says, then the person avoids it. Then he's working with the tzaddik's keli. He's admitting, by his admitting clearly to himself and to Hashem and to the tzaddik, I don't have, right now, I'm not yet a keli. I just came, or I'm here only a couple of months or a couple of years. I haven't gotten to shleimus of tikkun habris yet, so I know I'm not qualified to use my brain. And if I use it, I could make all kinds of trouble for myself, and as we find many people do. There are people who come to the tzaddik, they learn the Torah, and they go south. They make all kinds of terrible mistakes for themselves and for others and all kinds of things. But if a person is careful to have complete tmimus and pshitus, and again, tmimus and pshitus doesn't mean to read three lines of a page in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal sends something, he closes the book, okay, I got it, I know what to do now, and again, I'm not going to use my brain, I'm going to do exactly what it says here, he's fooling himself. Exactly what it says, you got to read the whole book, not three lines, not two, three pages. Don't be silly. This isn't a joke. You're not going to take something out of context. Rabbi Nizal says, be happy. And a person says, that's it. I know exactly what to do now. 24/7 dancing. That's Breslov. That's what the Rabbeinu wants. And I'm the best. And whoever's not doing this is not Breslov. Person's fooling himself. That's all. Tmimus and Pshitus means seriousness. It doesn't mean, it means a serious commitment to absorb everything that tzaddik has to say, not just two, three lines. This was all the introduction to this halacha. Rav Nosson Zal gave us a synopsis of this Torah in Likutei Moran, Torah Lamed Vov, which is one of the awesome, awesome chapters in Likutei Moran. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to take this and use this to explain the whole topic of Pesach, the holiday of Pesach. Paragraph paragraph Aleph. Veze bechinas golus Mitzrayim. With this, we could understand the whole exile that the Jews had in Egypt. Ki yodua umefursam sheikar golus Mitzrayim hoyo al pegama bris. It's known in the Kisvei Arizal and in Sifrei Kabbalah that the main reason why Klal Yisrael had to go down to Mitzrayim was because of the pegama bris of Adam Arishon. It's brought that when Adam Arishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, there were a number of mistakes that happened together. Number one, the actual eating from the Eitz Hadas. Number two, Adam Arishon was created on Friday. He was created on Friday. Had he waited with his Zivug, with Chava, till Shabbos, the whole world would have been a completely, completely different world. The fact that he didn't, the fact that they were together during the 6 days of the week, rather than Shabbos, that was considered, to a degree, an aspect of a pigam and bris on the part of Adam Arishon, who was holier than the angels, and he was the rabbi of the angels at that time. That's one issue. A second issue is that after he did all of this, the Torah says that being the great tzaddik that he was, he accepted upon himself a fast of 130 years. What kind of fast? Not fast from food, to abstain from his wife, to separate himself, precious, from Chava for 130 years. But it's brought, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, and I think even the Gemara mentions it, that during those 130 years, the forces of Tumah, the Shadim and the Ruchos, all tried to be mechamim him, all tried to attack him because he was in the state of precious, and that also resulted in a type of pegam abris that took place. And the whole concept of Klal Yisrael having to go down to Mitzrayim, which was the cesspool of pegam abris, it's called Erev HaSa'aretz, that was the center of pegam abris, was to try to be mesakin this pegam abris of Adam HaRishon. Shehutzruchu shivim nefesh al beis Yaakov lehisnasois ulehitzdariv begolus Mitzrayim. These 70 members of the family of Yaakov Avinu had to go down and be tested and be refined and further refined and further refined in the golus of Mitzrayim. Shehi bechinas golus shel shivim umois. Mitzrayim was like a composite of all the bad of all 70 nations of the world put together. Ki golus Mitzrayim koilel kol hagolios shel kol hashivim uvois, because the golus of Mitzrayim is kolel all the exiles of all the 70 nations. It's as if Klal Yisrael were in exile by all 70 nations, as it says in the Medrash, shekol hagolios mechunim b'shem Mitzrayim, that every time that the Jews are in exile, it's called Mitzrayim, because the word Mitzar means a constriction, imprisoned. You're not in your own house. You're out of your own place, you're somewhere else. You're locked up somewhere else. Montreal. Ki Mitzrayim heim Erev HaSa'aretz. Because Mitzrayim is called in the Torah Erev HaSa'aretz, Shtufei Zima. They were outstanding in this issue of Znus, Rachmana Litzlan. Hainu ki heim bechinas hagolus hakoilel shel kol shivim umois. Hainu bechinas hataiva klolisanal shi taiva sniyuf. Because Mitzrayim was a combination, a composite of all the evil of all 70 nations put together, which Rabbeinu Zal said earlier is taivas niyuf. That there are all kinds of different taivas. There's taivas achila, taivas this. The one that's koilel, the ra of all of them put together, is this one, taivas niyuf. And that's what Mitzrayim was outstanding in. So Mitzrayim was all in one, everything in one. Shamitzriyim hoyu mishukoyim babi yoyser. The Egyptians were steeped in this more than anybody else, more than anything else. Nimtza, kisheshivim nefoshe shel beis Yaakov bo begolus Mitzrayim. So therefore, when the 70 members of the family of Yaakov Avinu went down to golus in Mitzrayim, ze bechinas golus hanal hamuvar b'mamanal. That's the golus that Rabbeinu Zal speaking about over there in Likutei Moran. Dahainu golus shel nefesh miYisrael. This is the exile whereby a Jewish soul has to be exiled among all 70 nations of the world. By going to Mitzrayim, it was like being in all 70 countries, in all 70 places. Hainu betayva hakloliyus hanal shehi bechinas golus Mitzrayim shoyishtufei zima, meaning being involved in this particular taiva, which is koilel all the other taivas royas put together. which was Mitzrayim. That's what they were all about. The Gemara says they were Shtufei Zimo. Hu b'shvil ze golus Mitzrayim koilel kol hagolius. And it's for this reason that the exile of Egypt is considered to be a composite of all the other ones. Machmashoyo meshukoim beyoiser betaiva klolis and al shal shivim umois sheze ikra golus. Because Egypt had this thing, which is the worst, which is koil of the ra of everything else, which is this taiva sniyuf. They were most outstanding in that. That's why this is considered the worst golus that Klal Yisrael went through, the most intense, because the garbage was the most intense type of garbage. The alkein golus Mitzrayim, the yitzias Mitzrayim, he bechol odom ubechol zman. Therefore, this concept of being exiled in Egypt and coming out of Egypt applies to every single Jew in every single generation. Ki kol echod muchroch lehisnasois betaiva haklolisanal. Every single Jew must be tested in this area. Shehi b'chinas golos Mitzrayim. Every single Jew had to go down to golos Mitzrayim. We saw the entire family of Yaakov, all shivim nefesh went, no exceptions. And to the degree that a Jew is zeicher to fight this taiva and to break it and to get out of this golus, to get out of that stranglehold of all 70 nations, this taiva klolis, which also Mitzrayim, that means that Jew has been zeicher to leave Egypt. And Rabbeinu Zal said over there in Likutei Moharan that when a Jew feels himself in that golus, he romas shivim kolim, he screams 70 screams, kimoy hayoledes koidem aleda, like a woman who's pregnant right before she gives birth, she screams 70 screams. V'zeh b'chinas vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael al Hashem. This is the concept where the Torah says clearly, what did the Jews do in Egypt? They screamed to Hashem, tzo'oko, that's the word that the Pasuk uses. Vayishma Hashem es koileinu, and Hashem heard our scream. Hanemar begolos Mitzrayim, shehi b'chinas golos anal. That's what the Torah says specifically about when the Jews were in Mitzrayim. Haynu b'chinas hakolin anal, shetzoyekes hanefesh kishibo begolos anal. This is what Rabbeinu Zal says over the Likutei Moharan, that every time a Jew feels himself in this golos, he feels himself under attack, major attack by the Yetzer Hara, trying to attack him in this area of Pegam HaBris, the Neshama screams out, it cries out to Hashem, these 70 screams. Ve'ikar golus Mitzrayim hoya kedei lovoi lehizgalus ha-Torah. And again, one of the main reasons why the Jews had to go through that golus Mitzrayim was to be zoiche, to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. They went 49 levels down in order to go up 49 levels before they got to day 50, to Matan Torah. Ki achakach zochu lekabola satorah bar Sinai. Because right after leaving Mitzrayim, the next major event in their lives was they were zochu to Matan Torah, kabola satorah. Just like Rabbeinu Zal says over there, that before any Jew can be zochu to experience a hizgalus in Torah, he has to first be lowered into Mitzrayim. He has to first be tested in this area of Pegam HaBris, big time. And if he's zeicher to fight and to try his best to pass that test, then he's zeicher to his Matan Torah, to his Hizkalus in Torah. Hashkocha, I just got a phone call last night from a best friend whose son's wife was in the hospital about to give birth. I don't know, I didn't hear yet if she did or didn't. If she did or didn't, either way, what we're learning now should help for an easy birth and everything should go right for Tzipora Bat Shoshana.